This is Pastor Mike Eccleston speaking, and I would like to welcome you to Heritage Baptist Church's online audio library. These messages are provided not as a substitute for the assembling of God's people, nor as a substitute for the regular reading of God's Word, but rather as a spiritual supplement for a deeper understanding of His Word. May He add His blessing as you listen.
All right, good evening. Turn over a couple places here to start. Romans chapter 15, and then 2 Corinthians. I'll give you a chapter here in a second. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. So Romans 15, 2 Corinthians 13. We'll read a couple verses just to get us going, and then I want to give you some illustrations here before we dig into some other things concerning the Godhead. So I know that we often use the word Trinity. Nothing wrong with that word, but I'd rather use the Bible word. So the Bible word is Godhead. So we'll stick with that. And when we say the Godhead, that's good. Thank you. We're referring to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The definitive verse, we looked at it last week, is 1 John 5:7, where it says there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. So I've been teaching math this year, the lower level math classes, and if you take 1 plus 1 plus 1, what do you have? 3. Okay, how about if you take any number except 1 and multiply it 3 times? Take 2 times 2 times 2. What do you have? Anybody know? 2 times 2 is 4. 4 times 2 is 8. So if you start with a number and you multiply it 3 times, you always end up with more than the number you started with. If you try 3, you didn't know you were going to do your multiplication tables tonight, did you? 3 times 3 times 3. So let's do 3 times 3. 9. 9 times 3. 27. Now let's back up and go to 1. 1 times 1 times 1. What is 1 times 1? What is 1 times 1? But we've got 3 numbers we're multiplying. But only with 1 do you end up with 1 when you multiply them. Now, if you add them, 1 plus 1 plus 1, you get 3. But you multiply them, you get 1. I think that's very unique. I think God did that on purpose, with showing you 3 separate, yet when you multiply that same thing, it's 1. So it is 3. God is 3 persons, but 1 God. And That's the way we got to state that. We may not be able to completely wrap our minds around it, but it's one God. We looked at oneness last week. There's only one God, but He exists in three persons. You can't get around that. So look at a couple verses here that will help us that. Romans 15:30. Now, I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Do you see the Godhead in that verse? You have the Lord Jesus Christ. There's the Son. Love of the, capital S, Spirit. There's the Holy Spirit. And then at the end there, prayers to God. There's God the Father. All three there in one. So one God, three persons. Go over to 2 Corinthians, the other place I had you turn to. Go to 2 Corinthians 13. This will be the last verse in the chapter, actually the last verse in the book, 2 Corinthians 13. Look for the Godhead in this verse. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Do you see the Godhead there? Lord Jesus Christ, love of God, there's God the Father, and the Holy Ghost. Now, what you'll find is you have some different titles for each. Take the Son. He's the easiest to think of a bunch of titles. Give me some titles for the Son, Jesus Christ. Yeah, He's the Son of Man. He's the Word, capital W, right? Any other ones? He's the Light with a capital L over in John 1. There's a bunch of them. He's the Messiah. Okay. We've got several for the Son. How about God the Father? Is there only one title for Him? You could say that, Lord, capital L-O-R-D, God Almighty. you'll see later on, the highest with a capital H is a reference to God the Father. I'll show you that one later on. Any other ones you can think of? Jehovah. Yes, very good. And then the Holy Spirit has a few. Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, Comforter. We'll look at that one later on. Spirit of Truth. So different titles, but same person of the Godhead. You'll see some of those as we go tonight. Okay, so how about we start off with a little illustration here. There are one, two, three plastic cups. And you have to pretend on this one, okay? You have to pretend. So it's pretty obvious, though, in this one you have, anybody can see that? Can you see? That's ice. In this one, you have water. I know you can't tell, but let's pretend. This is steam. It's going to be kind of hard to do that with a plastic cup. So water vapor or steam. Now, you have to pretend with me here on that one. However, let's take these two without pretending. Both of those are the same substance. What are both of those? We call it H2O. Two atoms of hydrogen, one atom of oxygen. That happens to be three. Isn't that interesting? We've got a solid form, ice. We've got a liquid form, which we refer to water. And if you pretend with me here, we have water vapor. Is this H2O? If we're pretending, is this H2O? Yes, it is. Is this H2O? Yes, it is. Is this H2O? See how we can have three different, in this case, states of matter, yet they are all the same substance. Can't get around that, can you? Okay, turn over to John chapter 1, and let's look at another example on this. John chapter 1, on this 3-in-1. Real quick, before we go on, you can go to John 1, but before I read there, if you wanted to try to connect each of these to the persons of the Godhead, I said this last week, but just for reminder's sake, the solid form would connect with who? That'd be the Son, Jesus Christ, the visible member of the Godhead, person of the Godhead. Here you have, this one's kind of tricky. This is a liquid. What do you think? We've got the Father and we've got the Spirit left. I would say the Spirit on this one. Do you remember John chapter 7? Jesus Christ said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. Later on it says, this he spake of the Spirit. Okay, and then this would be the unseen. That would match God the Father, wouldn't it? I know those two are kind of tricky, particularly that one with the Spirit. But as we go tonight, maybe we'll see some things with that. Go to John 1. John 1 verse 18. So I'm going to read the first half of the verse and then I'm going to stop. So John 1:18. We'll just read John 1:18. No man has seen God at any time. Stop right there. No man has seen God at any time. Okay? Let's read the rest of the verse now. If you don't read the rest of the verse, you get yourself in a lot of trouble. No man has seen God at any time. But now let's read the rest of the verse. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So later on you'll find Jesus Christ says, he that has seen me has seen the Father. So how can that be? The only way that's possible, the only way that's possible is for God the Father to be God and Jesus Christ to be God as well. That is the only way that that's possible. Okay, so let me connect this with something that God made. Sunlight. We all need, think about this, we all need water. Actually, this is just for existence of, for any life on earth. Water is necessary and sunlight, right? You say, what about air? Well, do you know how we get air? Green plants use water and sunlight to make oxygen. So no plants, folks, we don't breathe. So water and sunlight are vital to life on earth. So there's a good illustration there with H2O that we saw with the Godhead. How about sunlight? There's actually three kinds of rays. This is pretty wild. You have X-rays. You can't see them. You can't feel them. You have light rays. You can see them, but you can't feel them. And then you have heat rays. You can feel them, but you can't see them. Let me go through those again. As I go, see if you can match each one of those rays with the Godhead. So X-rays, can't see, can't feel. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, what do you think? Father, no man has seen God at any time. That would be God the Father. Light rays, seen but not felt. That's got to be Jesus Christ. Now, I know that we have not seen Him, but we will see Him in the flesh. And He'll be on this earth one day, right? We'll see Him in heaven when we meet Him in the air or at death. And then also, He'll be back on this earth one day reigning as King. So He's seen, but not necessarily felt. And then heat rays, felt but not seen. Which one of the members of the Trinity would that match up with, the Godhead? Okay, now you say, well, we don't go on feeling, though. We're independent Baptists, we don't go on feeling. And you're right. But there is a feeling that you ought to have concerning the Holy Spirit. I can think of a few, but I'll just give you one. Conviction. Isn't that a feeling? Something just really gnaws at you on the inside? Can't really explain what that is. When it's sin, that's the Holy Spirit convicting. There's a feeling there. So I thought that was interesting. So with that in mind, go to John 14. John 14, some things on really all three persons here, John 14. And again, these illustrations I'm using, I don't think any of them are perfect. But I think that they give us at least something that is that we can have a better understanding of the Godhead. Okay, John 14, look at verse 9. And again, as we go through here, you want to look for the different persons. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Only one God, but look for the three. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you? Did I tell you I'm in verse 9? 14:9. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me hath seen who? The Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? So there you have the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, and he says, if you have seen me, who have you seen? Okay, do you remember over there in Isaiah 9:6? Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called. Remember the titles? Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God with a capital G, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So you understand how Jesus Christ can say that and be 100% truthful in saying that. He that has seen me has seen the Father. It's no contradiction to John 1:18. No man has seen God at any time. Because which person of the Godhead has no man seen? God the Father, right? So you see how this works. Okay, go down there to verse 16. John 14:16, and you'll see the third person of the Godhead here. We got the Father and the Son there. 9, look at 16. Now remember, Jesus Christ is speaking. This is really neat if you realize who he's speaking. And I, that's the Lord Jesus, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. So there's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, and he says, I will pray the Father. There's God the Father, that he may give you another Comforter. Who is the Comforter? The next verse tells you. Look at verse 17. Even the, there it is, capital S, Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So if you are saved this evening, you have the Comforter living inside of you. It is the Comforter that actually, when you're going through the Scriptures, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit of God, is the person of the Godhead that teaches you, that sheds the light on the Scriptures as we look at them. All right, so go down there to chapter 15 and look at one more verse here in John. John 15:26. Just looking at some illustrative things here with the Godhead. 15:26. And again, look for the three. 15:26. This is Jesus Christ speaking again. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of Truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Okay, did you see the three there? The Comforter. Another name is the Spirit of Truth. There's one. You have Jesus Christ talking. He refers to himself. I, there's the Son. And then he says, whom I will send unto you from the Father. So you see, this is all through the Scriptures. You see the three mentioned. Now, this is the next point here. The three are mentioned as separate, yet the three are. You cannot get around the three are one. There is only one God. So there's some illustration. Let's go to the second point here this evening, the separation. So here's what God is able to do that we can't. I'll tell you a little story here. I went to the Hibbett Sporting Goods right up here in the shopping center by Target to buy a football just before I came over here this afternoon. So the young man in there named Nicholas, he showed me the footballs, and he showed me a football that was I did not want to pay so much for because I was going to – I cut this one. He was going to sell me a $17 football, and I said, no, I want a cheaper one than that. So I got this one, and I asked him if it had a bladder inside of it, and you'll see why in a minute. And he said, I don't know. He says it might be one of those deals where there's a bladder, but when you cut it, because I told him what I was going to do, I'll cut right through it. So he said, well, what are you using this for? All right, opportunity. I said, well, I'm going to be talking about, if you're familiar with biblical things, the Trinity. And I said, do you know anything about that? And he said, yeah, a little bit. Well, we start talking, and he lets me know that he's an atheist. He's a real friendly guy, not antagonistic at all. Now, here's what's more interesting. Formerly a part of a Jehovah's Witness family. His a family member, I want to say an uncle, got a blood transfusion. Got disowned by the family because they don't do blood transfusions. Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe in that. So he grew up not even ever being around a lot of his family members. Really sad. That's what false teaching will do. Isn't that ridiculous? What? Miss Katie back here can tell you that blood transfusions can help people. And what a ridiculous thing to. And I'm not sure if you studied this much. I don't even know why they do that, but whatever. So we got talking, and I said he finally told me he's an atheist, and I said, hey, have you ever looked at creation and how in creation, in the creation, the way that things are laid out, that there's so many things that it's one thing that you can separate into three. So he says, yeah, you're talking about Fibonacci. I don't know if you know much about that. I don't know much about that at all. But the bottom line is there's an order in the creation. Where'd that come from, folks? I know where that came from. That's God. The order of creation reveals that there's a God. So this was really interesting. I said, when I said that, he got going. I said, yeah. I said, doesn't that order make it so that there is an intelligent designer or creator? And he said, well, I'm on the clock right now, and probably shouldn't be talking about these things. Something like that. Well, then he's ringing me out while this is happening. And he rings me out. And then after stopping the conversation right there, he did not want that to go any further for whatever reason. He stopped it and he said, oh, yeah, by the way, come by and see me here. I'm here all the time. That is the strangest thing. So if you feel the urge to go to Hibbett, look for Nicholas and give him a gospel tract or talk to him. And we'll just pray for that guy and try to go in there again. But it was the strangest thing because I wanted to talk. I had time. And he apparently wanted to talk, but not right then. It was the strangest, I don't know, strange conversation, but pray for him. So anyway, I got this football. So I cut it open, and it had air in it. This football's got a bladder inside, and that bladder is there so you can put air in it. So did you know this football has three parts? We've got the outside covering. A real football would have pigskin. This is not pigskin. This is something cheap. And then we got the bladder that holds the air. And then we've got the air if it was in there. You see the three parts? I think that is a really good illustration, not so much of the Godhead, but of man being a three-part being. And what we say man is, what the Bible say man is last week, body, soul, spirit, right? I think that's a pretty good illustration. I think a better illustration for the Godhead is what we had right here. But I thought that was interesting. So the reason I bring this up is because I separated the bladder from the covering. And then I can keep, you can hear it there. The air's, I can pull all the air out or as much as possible. So you see how these can be separated, the three? Yet, here's the thing. The football, I can separate them. But me as a man and you as a person as well, the three parts of me cannot be separated by me. So here's what I mean. I'm a body, I'm a soul, I'm a spirit. What part of those do you see? You see the body. I look at you, I see the outside, I see the body. I can't separate those. But look at this. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's take a look at something interesting. 2 Corinthians 5. Look at verse 6. 2 Corinthians 5, 6. This is Paul talking here. 2 Corinthians 5, 6. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, We are absent from who? The Lord. Verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Now watch verse 8 in connection with what I was saying. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Okay, so I am in one place right now, my body, soul, spirit. I will be like that unless I was to die. And at that moment, there's a separation. Where's my body going? It's going in the ground. Where's my soul, spirit going? Soul and spirit going. It's going up to meet the Lord, to be with the Lord. You see how there's a separation? I can't do that, and that will not happen to any of us until death, right? The separation of the three. But look at this. This is why man is made in the image of God, but it's not identical as far as the way that God made us. It's similar, but obviously not identical because we're not God. So go over to Matthew chapter 3 and we'll look at this separation. The separation of the Trinity. Now again, got to be careful here. One God, three persons, and look how, even though these three are one, we've seen that, look at the three separated here. Look at Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. Matthew 3, 16. Look for the three. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Okay, did you see all three in those two verses? And did you see the three that they're separate? Now again, in these two verses here, you're thinking to yourself, is he right about that? The three are separate. At the same time, we've already looked at too many verses to say the three are what? The three are in unity. But we can't get around that. You can see a separation here. I can't do this with my three parts. But the Godhead, obviously the Lord God, can do this. Jesus. Now, where is Jesus whenever this is happening? He's on earth. He's being baptized. So it says, when he went up straightway out of the water. By the way, there's a good place there to teach proper baptism. To go out of the water, you have to go into the water. And if you're going to sprinkle somebody to baptize them, you wouldn't need to go into a body of water. You could do it anywhere. I could do it with that. Don't need a body of water. So there's the proper baptism there. He says, so it comes up out of the water. Now look what happens when he comes up out of the water. That's Jesus Christ on the earth. The heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending. So here's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the pulpit as the earth. Here he is on earth. And then the Spirit of God, it says descending, so it's going from up to down, right? And then it says descending like a dove and lighting upon him. So it comes from somewhere up here all the way down here upon him. And then the next verse, verse 17, lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. So you have a voice from heaven. Who does that have to be to say Son? It has to be the Father. You have the Spirit of God going from here down here. And there's the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ himself on earth. Isn't that something? You can't get around it. They're separate right there. But they're in unity at the same time because these three are one. So look at another one. Go to Matthew 28. Here's one that you know. You'll see the three together here. You'll see three that are distinct and they're separate, but the three are one. So Matthew 28, last couple verses of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 28. Look at verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now that word and, there's an indication that the Father is one, the Son is one, the Holy Ghost is one. One plus one plus one is three. But these three are one. So a better way, like I said earlier, one times one times one is one. So you got three things you're multiplying, but you have one in the end. That only works with the number one. That's the way the Godhead operates. So there's some things about the separation. I thought that was interesting. So you've got some illustration there and then the separation, and I wanted to spend the bulk of the time on this one, so that's good. We got a little time here. Last one here is some actions of the Godhead. And this is how, even though they're separate, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost work in unity. Now, we'll look at some things here, some events that have already taken place in the past that I can tell you that all three members of the Godhead are present and active and working. But I could not explain to you how this actually takes place. So here's the case where when you see that all three are there and they're involved in a certain event, you just believe that all three are involved in that certain event, whether you can explain how they work or not. They all three are involved. So the first one here is creation. So if you'll find Genesis 1, and then at the same time, let's find a couple here, Colossians 1. Genesis 1 and Colossians 1. We looked at this last week, but let's look at it again. So this is the first action. The Godhead in the creation. The Godhead in the creation. So if you'll find Genesis 1 and Colossians chapter 1. The Godhead in the creation. So here's the action of the three working as a unit. So go to Genesis 1, and just to remind you here, you look for the three. Genesis 1, 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. All right, now you have to cross-reference John 1, 1 through 3 to get this. In the first verse, you have God. Is that the Father? Or is that the Word? In the beginning, John 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, that would indicate two. And the Word was God, that would indicate one. See how this thing works? The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. That's John 1. So even though you only have capital G God mentioned there, I think you can say that is the Father, and that is also the Word. Now, do you see the Spirit of God there in verse 2? So in the act of creation, do you see all three working in unity? Yet, there's a separation. And again, the separation, you have to go John 1. The same was in the beginning with God. The same, in the beginning was the Word was with God. Two, the Word was God. That means the two are one. You see how that works? So there's two separate, yet they're working in unity. Okay, go to Colossians 1 just to show you this more on Jesus Christ. And you know, you should know by now that the Word, capital W, is another title for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word was made flesh, John 1:14, and dwelt among us. Okay, look at Colossians 1. And you'll see a bunch of things here about Jesus Christ. If you look at the end of verse 13, 1:13, it says, let me read all verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. So 14 says, in whom? So who's verse 14 about? It's got to be the Son. And if you look, you'll see why. In whom? We have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Okay, before we go on, which of the persons in the Godhead died for your sins? The Son. Now, I know the Son is God, but the Holy Spirit didn't go to the cross. See how that works? But the Holy Spirit is still God, even though the Holy Spirit is not the person that went to the cross. Okay, so verse 14, the blood there, that's a reference to the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Even the forgiveness of sins. Now look at verse 15. Who is the image, speaking of Jesus Christ, is the image of the invisible God. Oh, that's got to be who? That's got to be the Father, right? The firstborn of every creature. Now watch it. Look at verse 16. This would be speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. For by Him were all things created. And then it goes on to give you some detail there. Who is that in verse 16 that is indicated by Him? Who is that? That's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Creator. So you see how in the act of creation, you have the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, all present. See how the three work separately, but the three work in harmony, in unity. It's the neatest thing. Look at another one here. Now this one's kind of fun. Go to Matthew chapter 1. Let's look at the second thing here with actions. These are some actions of the Godhead. Matthew chapter 1. And this would be the Godhead active in the incarnation. So that's a big theological word. What do we mean when we say incarnation? We say incarnate, we mean God becoming man. So that word incarnation, carne, meat, flesh. There you go. In Spanish, carne is meat. So that's God becoming flesh. Did you know that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are all involved in the act of the incarnation, God becoming a man? So look at Matthew 1 and look for Go to verse 18 and look for the different persons of the Godhead here. Verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Okay, so far, we started in 18 and read down to 21. Who have we had mentioned so far out of the three? You got the Holy Ghost. Who else do you have? You have the Son. You see God the Father yet? Okay, you got to keep reading. 22. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is, there you go. You got all three there. God with us. That's God in the flesh. So, again, go to Luke chapter 1. You get a little bit more light on that. You got to put the two accounts together. Go to Luke 1 on this whole thing about God becoming man, about Jesus Christ and his birth. Luke chapter 1. Get a little bit more. You got to put these together. It's the way the Bible's set up. You don't always get all the details in one place. A little cross-reference will put the pieces together for you. So look at Luke chapter 1. Go down there to verse 30. This is the angel showing up to, this is Gabriel, the angel showing up to Mary. And look at verse 30. 1:30. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Okay, 30. In verse 30, who do you see there? That makes it God the Father, right? Makes sense for that to be God the Father. 31. You got the Son, that's Jesus. It says his name will be Jesus, right? Okay, so we got to have the Holy Ghost here somewhere. Well, keep going. 32. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the... All right, now before we go on, the Son of the Highest, that means the Highest with a capital H, must be who? The Father. See, that's another title for the Father, God the Father. Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. 34. And then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. There's one. And the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. There's two. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. You see the three there? You got the Highest, there's the Father. You got the Holy Ghost before that. The Holy Ghost, the Highest, and the Son of God. So do you see that the birth of Jesus Christ, at the birth of Jesus Christ, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost are acting in unity. Now, I couldn't explain how, and in fact, Mary asked, how shall these things be? And even after the angel told her, you think she had understanding of how that was going to happen? But it happened exactly, see again, it happened exactly as the Holy Ghost, as she was told the Holy Ghost would bring about a conception, right? You can't explain that, but it did happen. So Mary, she just believes it, and guess what happens? Things turn out exactly as the angel told her would. So believe those things even if you can't completely understand them. All right, let's go to one more. Let's look at redemption. Your salvation, my salvation. Go to Hebrews chapter 9. I'll just put this one kind of simple, and then we'll look at some verses that will actually make it more simple. Think about this. Before any of us were saved, what was your standing with God the Father? What was your standing? You're an enemy of God the Father, right? He's holy. You're a sinner. You're separated from Him. You can't have fellowship with Him. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, right? Okay, which person of the Godhead, you didn't even know it. I didn't know it at the time. Which person of the Godhead began to move on you to show you you're a sinner, you need to be saved, and Jesus Christ will save you. He paid the price. Holy Ghost, right? He began to move on you. And then whoever witnessed to you, or it could happen just with a Bible, you either read or somebody showed you, they showed you how the one that paid the price for your sins is the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you'll believe on Him, you can be saved, and you can be in the right relationship with God the Father. You see, so you don't even think about, at least I didn't. Of course, I was a little boy, and even adults, you don't know that the Holy Ghost is doing a work on you until later. Somebody had to tell you, oh yeah, back then. You know, that's what was happening. You got convicted, and you knew that, but you couldn't explain it all. So that's kind of how some of these things are. You don't quite understand them at one time, then later on they make a lot more sense. So Hebrews chapter 9, let's look at this. Look for the three. This has to do with us being saved, redemption. 9:14. Actually, let me get 12 here. Let's go to 12. 9:12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Speaking of Jesus Christ. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify it to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, there's one, who through the eternal Spirit, there's two, offered himself without spot to God, there's three, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. That has to do with us being saved, folks. And I know a lot of times when we talk about salvation, the focus goes on the Son. And I think that's good. That's a good thing that we obviously, our belief is in the fact that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again. But that puts us in the right standing with God the Father. And the Holy Ghost obviously has a role in that as well. So, really neat. And again, so that thing right there, that verse 14, it says there, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself. I can't explain how the Holy Spirit was working in that whole thing. I'm talking about him actually paying the price for our sins. But you know what the Bible says? It says, the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself. I'll just believe that. I can't explain that. The Spirit was involved there, though. There's no doubt about that. Okay, go over to Hebrews chapter 10. One over there, one chapter over. Look at another one here. Look for the three. This has to do with our redemption, our salvation. 10:8. Look at Hebrews 10:8. And when he said, sacrifice an offering and burnt offerings and an offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So there's the Lord Jesus Christ. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of... Okay, now let me stop there. When Jesus Christ, when he ascended into heaven, what did he do? What is he doing right now at the present moment? He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. So there's two. You got the Father, and you got the Son sitting at his right hand. There's two, correct? Are the two one, though? They're both God. And is Jesus Christ all God? 100%? Yeah. Is God the Father 100% God? Now, the Holy Spirit, he's the one that we actually kind of will put down here and think that, well, he's not quite God. But he is. And if you've seen here tonight, he's referred to as a he. That's why I say it. So he's referred to as a he and an it in other places, just as the Lord Jesus Christ is. So the Holy Ghost is 100% God as well. We oftentimes relegate the Holy Ghost as not being as important. The Holy Ghost is every bit God as Jesus Christ and God the Father. So look at the Holy Ghost in these verses. Look at verse 13. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds will I write them. So it says there, the Holy Ghost is a witness to us. You know who the witness on this earth is today, folks? Who's the witness on earth today? It is the Holy Ghost through the Word of God. They work together. They always work hand in hand to get God's work done, accomplished. Holy Ghost and the Word of God. All right, real quick, I want to hit one more here. Let's do the resurrection because this is a neat one. And we just celebrated this a couple weeks ago. So let me ask you. Now, you already know the answer, but I'll ask you anyway. Who raised Jesus Christ from the dead? Did the Father, the Son, or the Holy Ghost? Ah, you got it. Yes, good answer. All three. Look at Acts chapter 2. We'll take a look at these real quick. This is pretty neat. The Godhead acting in the resurrection. Again, anytime somebody tries to accuse you of believing in three gods, you go to the Scriptures and show them. Great starting place is 1 John 5:7. Yes, three. But that verse says these three are one. One God. And I think think about it, folks, just the verses I've given you last week and this week, it's quite a few. And I'm barely scratching the surface on the verses we can look at. So now when you go through the scriptures, you've got to look for these things. It's really neat when you start to be on the lookout for them and you'll see them. Not always in one verse, but you'll see a lot of times, especially in the letters of Paul, you'll see in a chapter, a lot of the chapters that Paul wrote, you'll find all three somewhere in the chapter. It's really neat. So let's go look at Acts chapter 2. Which of the three persons of the Godhead is active here in the resurrection? Look at 2:31. Acts 2:31. He's seen this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. 32. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Okay, there's no mention of the Holy Ghost in that verse, although you'll see him in the next verse. There is a mention of Jesus Christ there, so who does it sound like is active in the resurrection there? That's the Father, right? So the Father is active in the resurrection. Go to Romans chapter 6. Let's see who this is. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Let's see who this is. Romans chapter 6, look at verse 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Who raised Jesus from the dead according to Romans 6:4? God the Father. All right, go over to John chapter 2. Let's see who raised Jesus Christ from the dead here. And again, I show you these things to show you that these different things that have happened in the past, all three members of the Godhead are involved. All three persons are involved. And they work, you can say, separately, but they also, at the same time, they're working separately. They work in unity. So John chapter 2, look at verse 18. This is an encounter with the Jews and the Lord Jesus Christ. 2:18. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? 19. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 40 and 6 years of this temple and building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of... Okay, who said there that the body of Jesus Christ would be raised from the dead? Who said it? Jesus Christ himself said it. So we saw the Father raise Jesus from the dead. The Son raised Jesus from the dead. The Son raised himself from the dead. Look at John chapter 10. I'll show you another one on this. John chapter 10. Just a couple more here. We'll wrap up. This is the last point here. John chapter 10. Look at verse 18. Jesus Christ speaking here. Actually, go to 17. 17, 18. John 10, 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I, who's talking? The Son, Jesus Christ, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. So he said he would do that, and he did just that. Now, notice there, he also said, here's another point that we could talk about, but he says there, I lay down my life. You see that? What did he say on the cross? Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. So even there in his death, there's two, and I'm sure you could find an account of the Holy Spirit there being involved as well. So go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Let's look at this last one here. Two verses on the Holy Spirit and the resurrection. Father's involved in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Son, obviously, he raised himself, and the Spirit. Now again, can anybody explain what role Jesus took and what role the Father took and what role the Spirit took in the resurrection? It's one of these things you can't say specifically how this happened. Explanation-wise, I can't exactly detail how this happened. But you know what I do know? The Father was involved in the resurrection. The Son raised himself from the dead. And you'll see here in a minute the Holy Spirit was involved too. So we'll just leave it at that and believe it. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 11. Here's a good one with personal application here. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So take a look at the first half of the verse again. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Who is the Spirit, kind of a giveaway with the capital S, that raised up Jesus from the dead? It's got to be the Holy Spirit. Did you notice in that verse, where does the Holy Spirit dwell? That verse tells you. In you, and he's addressing people that are saved. Is that us? You're here tonight, you're saved? That's you, that's me. Now keep going. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So will the Holy Spirit be involved in us resurrecting from the grave? Guess who else will be involved? So we could chase this one. Guess you could find verses. Guess who else is involved in that? God the Father. Guess who else is involved in that? The Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout. Isn't he involved in the rapture? Calling the dead up from the grave? See? All three there. You could go on and on with just all these events. Some of them in the future and some of them in the past. Father, Son, Holy Ghost are involved. One more here to end on. This will be a good one to end on. 1 Peter chapter 3. Good salvation verse to end on that has mentioned here the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter chapter 3. Thanks for hanging in there with all these verses tonight. Get your exercise, don't you? Spiritual exercise. 1 Peter 3:18. Good verse to memorize. Oh, you'll see all three here, by the way, but you'll see that the Holy Spirit is mentioned here with resurrection. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins. The just, that's Jesus Christ. For the unjust, is that you? Oh, yes, the unjust. Why? That he might bring us to God. You got Christ, and there you have God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. So there's the Spirit involved in the resurrection. Calls it the quickening right there, quickened. And in that same verse, you have Christ, you have God the Father, and you got the Holy Spirit. And there you have it. The Godhead is active separately, but in unity. Can't get around that. So I hope that will help you tonight. Now, next week should be fun. Next week, this week was the functions of the Godhead, just looking at some of those actions taken by the Godhead. Next week, we'll look at some fallacies. And I've just begun to start looking at this, and I tell you, it's eye-opening to look at what the cults believe about the Godhead. And they sound almost like they think they believe like us. And then you dig a little bit, and you realize they're not even close. So we'll take a look at some of the heresies next week associated with the Godhead. And guess where we'll have to go to find those heresies? Guess where we'll have to go? Outside the Bible, right? It's where you find heresy, outside the Bible. So I'll read you some stuff from some of their writings that is heresy. And if we have time, we'll show how those heresies can be obviously disproved by the Word of God. All right, let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for just truth. Thank you for us being able to recognize these things that have happened in the past and even in the future involving Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Thank you for putting the light on that for us. And thank you for the Holy Spirit showing us these things. Lord, help us to do something about these things. I just want to pray again for this young man that I talked to earlier this evening. He'd experience this great conviction from your Holy Spirit and understand how easy it is to be saved. Pray also for us as we go through our week that we take advantage of opportunities before us to do that even more so. And we just pray for even more understanding of this concept. It is one of those things that I know that it seems like we just keep on learning about. And I just pray you continue to teach us. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
This is Pastor Eccleston again. I trust that the preceding message was a spiritual blessing to you. If God has spoken to your heart, I encourage you to respond in whatever area He is leading. You know, there's no more important issue than your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you sense your need to trust Him as your personal Savior, He will save you if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in His finished work to pay the full debt of your sin. Please call us or write us or email us in this most important matter or any other spiritual matter. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Are you seeking the Lord? I truly hope so.